Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott, and I'm here with Mark Pascal. We own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every day from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, every weekday, that is. And you can also reach us through restaurantguysradio.com. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Francis.
So what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk later on in the show. We're going to talk with Governor Mike Rounds from South Dakota. They're doing some pretty special things with the beef out there.
You mean to tell me that this show, with all the illustrious guests we've gotten from all across the country and indeed all across the world, and we still haven't gotten Governor Cody on the show, but we have Governor Rounds from South Dakota on the show for us?
We're working with Governor Cody's office. We're scheduling a day.
I'm just trying to put a little burr under that saddle with Doug Common is what I'm trying to do. Governor Cody, if you're listening, you can call the radio show, but not today. I have another governor on the show, only one governor per show. Sorry. Anyway, there have been, and I have to say...
Hold on. Yeah. Governor Kane, Governor Byrne, Florio, today you're out. Some other day, maybe, but today you're out.
And Arnold, that goes for you, too. I have to say, I am, as we all are, really great for criticizing the government, and there's certainly a lot of bad things that go on. But it seems as though, I don't know, tell me if you think this is true as well, Mark. It seems as though people, some good things are really starting to happen. There's like a sea change in certain areas.
In food. People are just paying attention. More and more people are understanding that quality food can be a little bit more expensive. And it doesn't have to be a lot more expensive, but that we can produce these things and people are willing to pay just that little tiny bit extra to buy hormone-free milk as opposed to regular milk.
Hormone-laden Franken-milk.
There you go, Franken-milk. Thank you. I was going to say regular milk, but that seemed a little...
You know, regular milk is hormone-free milk, and that's where we've come in our society. What the problem is right, that we call regular milk antibiotic-laden, hormone-laden chemical soup that comes out of a Cowenstein.
Chemical soup. Does that come with little letters in it?
Exactly. What we're talking about, though, is across the country, there have been very positive pieces of government legislation, government action from various states. Federal government not doing anything really great, but various states across the country are really taking over.
Well, hopefully they're doing some things that are really great.
I'm just keeping my comments confined to food, and they're really not doing anything great when it comes to food that I know of. Maybe somebody can let us know something good the federal government's doing, but states across the country, Republican and Democrat-controlled legislatures, and even internationally in England, our compatriots in England are doing great things, getting junk food out of the schools, for example.
It's a huge move.
That happened really large. The first big move happened in England, then it happened in charter schools in America, and now various states have made tremendous strides to take junk food and fat-laden food.
Although the New Jersey law is the most progressive.
And that was signed by Governor Cody, and that takes junk food and high-fat foods and vending machines with sodas and sugar foods with sugar as the first ingredient out of the schools. Kudos to the state legislature of the state of New Jersey and the governor of the state of New Jersey. The legislature, both houses of the legislature of Connecticut, also stood up to the evil Coca-Cola bottlers who were and other soda bottlers who were fighting them.
I'm going to say stood up. Okay, they're still allowing diet sodas.
No.
They're still allowing...
No, that was vetoed by their governor. They're allowing everything.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Right. Connecticut.
The legislature in Connecticut stood up to the fast food industry and passed through both houses of the legislature sent to the governor's
desk. And the lieutenant governor.
The current governor.
I'm sorry, former lieutenant governor who got promoted when?
Vetoed that legislation because she feels that Coke decisions have to be done on a local level. So the Toady Award goes to the governor of Connecticut, but we have all these great things coming out, and South Dakota is doing a very interesting thing with their beef program, and we're going to talk with the governor of South Dakota when we come back from the break. But what's going on locally, Mark?
Well, it's blueberry season, Francis.
Mm, it is.
It's blueberry time. New Jersey is the largest producer of fresh blueberries. Everybody produces fresh blueberries when they produce them, but...
blueberries that are eaten
blueberries that are eaten as fresh, exactly, in the country. And the southern half of New Jersey is a great place to buy blueberries, and the blueberries this year have been delicious.
Yep.
Really delicious. I mean, I'm sure part of that is the push that Jersey Fresh has done to get blueberries from New Jersey into our markets faster than they ever have before.
Now you may say, but blueberries, I get them all year round. That's really true. I mean, we get blueberries from North Carolina, Chile, Australia, South Africa. But the best blueberries, maybe it's a little local pride here, but the best blueberries really do come from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that the town of Hamilton, New Jersey, is the largest, more blueberries are produced in Hamilton, New Jersey, than in any other town in the world. They produce 30 million pounds of blueberries.
That's a lot of blueberries,
sir. That's a lot of blueberries. Well, and when we talk about berries and seasonal produce, as we do with all of these things, we always prefer the local product. Not mm-hmm. only because in this case is our local product we feel superior, but because when you buy local product, it is a day from the farm to you.
Right.
Maybe 2 days from the farm to you. When you're buying California blueberries, when you're buying Nicaraguan blueberries and South African blueberries, they don't pick ripe blueberries and bring them to your supermarket.
Right.
They pick unripe blueberries and put them on a ship and send them across the ocean, and then they come into the port, and then they go through customs, and then they get to your market about a week later. So it's a very different thing. So we celebrate blueberry season. We should go out and buy some.
It's definitely been a great season, too. I've purchased from two different farm markets in New Jersey, purchased from the Union Square Market, as well as purchasing at a regular supermarket, just to kind of get a cross view of what's going on this season in blueberries. And they have been, all four of them were spectacular.
Did you know that blueberries were once considered to be sort of a local specialty to the Northeast, and were not eaten throughout America broadly, and
yeah.
that's only recently? And
thank you, Dr. Schott.
Did you know that they were often confined to breakfast food only, but mm-hmm. now they are eaten throughout the day?
But it seems like everybody stopped throwing fruit. I remember as a kid,
uh-huh.
we always threw fresh fruit in our cereal in the morning, whether it was a banana in the winter time or strawberries when they first came in or blueberries. We always tossed fresh fruit into our Cheerios or whatever.
Did you know?
In the morning. Oh, golly, please stop.
Did you know that blueberries were the highest in antioxidants
yes.
of any fruit?
I think we all knew that, Francis. Stop it.
And, you know,
the other
night I had a couple of people over. And what I did was I made a whiskey smash.
Did you really?
And I used blueberries, and I used some other fresh fruits. And that is a very simple cocktail that you can make by taking some fresh fruits, putting them in the bottom of the glass, just sort of muddling them or smashing them mm-hmm. up with a stick, throwing some ice in there, and whiskey on top, and you shake it up.
Very nice. Last night we also got some fresh cherries from the market.
They were in my whiskey smash.
We were making cherry mojitos last night with fresh cherries.
Very nice.
They are very good.
I don't know that the state government of New Jersey puts these on their most healthful ways to use fruit list, but
we believe in getting fruit in every
hey,
way you can.
You know, every little bit of fruit counts. So for those recipes for my recipe for a fruit smash, a fresh fruit smash, you can check our website later, www.restaurantguysradio.com.
You know what? We're going to be coming back with the governor, and maybe we'll come back to blueberries a little later in the show, but I don't want to keep the governor waiting any longer.
We'll be back in just a moment with the governor of South Dakota, Governor Mike Rounds, talking about the great things they're doing with South Dakota beef that you can participate in here in New Jersey by eating some. Central Jersey 1450 time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
You're back with the Restaurant Guys, and today we will be talking with the Governor of South Dakota, Governor Mike Rounds, and we'll be talking to him about a very interesting program that's going on. In South Dakota, here's a question for you. Will South Dakota beef, this is a question that was recently posed on the internet, will South Dakota beef be the next Kobe beef? Well, that's the state's plan. As the rural farmlands are slowly becoming a little less inhabited, South Dakota has a plan to establish a niche market and also to keep some more money in the state. This spring, Governor Rounds signed the first-in-the-nation law that will reinvent the South Dakota beef economy as gourmet foodstuff. The law puts the South Dakota Police and Administrative Authority on the job of guaranteeing that the consumers who buy South Dakota certified beef get a computer-tracked cow that was born, fed, and butchered inside the state borders after a humane upbringing and being entirely walled off from all possible contact with mad cow disease. A consumer can use the internet to find a photograph of the South Dakota family ranch where it came from, and if anybody lies to you along the process, they're guilty of a felony and they can go to jail for 2 years. Governor Rounds, hello.
Good morning, Governor Rounds. How are you today?
Thanks for the opportunity. We appreciate this.
Yeah, well, thanks for being on our show with us.
We think what you're doing out there is really interesting and really great.
Terrific.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. When I was running for governor back in 2002, we talked a lot about what we were eating on the campaign trail. And the one thing that I always told people was, is, you know, when I get home at night, and if it's maybe once every 2 weeks, the one thing I look forward to was literally putting a steak on the grill, and I love ribeye.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, it is so nice to put a nice, thick ribeye on there and then to sit back and to just enjoy it with either a beer or a glass of Cabernet. And we talked about it, and the fact that, you know, all over South Dakota, no matter where we went, people were talking about how we had the best beef. And I finally said, you know what, put up or shut up. Either we've got the best beef anyplace or we don't. Let's go on out and let's tell people exactly what it is we've got, why it's good, and then let's prove it. And let's put it in writing to people as to what we're doing to make our product as good as any they'll get any place in the world.
Well, Governor Rounds, we understand, and once you, because I don't think people in New Jersey understand about this, and hopefully soon South Dakota certified beef will be available here, so we really want to educate people about what's coming down the pike and why this is different. What was the situation in South Dakota beforehand? As I understand it, there was a lot of money that cows were being initially raised in South Dakota, but then they were being sent out of state for feeding and slaughter, and with that, a lot of the added value of the cows was being sent out of state for feeding and slaughter.
That's right. And, you know, when we talk about cows, we're really talking about both male and female animals, okay?
Beanstalk.
And so when you're talking about it, you're talking about either heifers or you're talking about steers. And when you process them, like in South Dakota, we grow. We have born within our states about 1.8 million head of calves per year.
Mm-hmm.
But about 1.4 million of the 1.8 were actually being shipped out of state because the buyers coming in from other states were paying more for them than what our guys in South Dakota were doing. In fact, see, we're about the fifth largest cattle-producing state in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Well, we've got what they call short grass in the western parts of our state, which makes for very good meat when they're young, when they're calves. And the females, in terms of the milk that they produce when they're raising that calf, short grass is a great grass to produce milk on. But the 1.8 million head that we had being produced in South Dakota, 1.4 million are leaving the state. We're only processing or feeding out about 400,000 head.
Because
we got to looking at the numbers and the economics of it said if we only raised and fed, not even processed, if we just fed our own livestock in South Dakota, we'd create over 10,000 new jobs. And here's the big thing. We create over $600 million in new wealth every single year for our family farmers.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and in a state where you've only got 760,000 people in the entire state, we were talking about a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But we found that we were growing the corn right here in our state, but we were exporting the corn as well. And now with ethanol really picking up, and I'm not sure how much people talk about ethanol on the East Coast, but it's literally a replacement for you know, foreign fuel.
Uh-huh.
And we've got you know, we're producing about 430 million gallons of ethanol a year right now, and that's alcohol. You add it, one-tenth of a gallon is alcohol made from corn, and 90% of it is gasoline, and you mix it together and you call it ethanol.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually better for the environment. But what we're doing is that creates a dry distiller's grain, which is a really high-protein food product that when you feed it to livestock, they really do well on it.
Uh-huh.
And so what we're trying to do is to bring this all together. And in doing so, we wanted to share with the rest of the world what we would do as a commitment in terms of food quality, the integrity of the product, and literally a great dining experience. When we go other places, we find people love to eat mm-hmm. beef when it's prepared properly.
Right. Well, part of this problem arose from the fact that people were coming to buy South Dakota beef because they thought it was superior quality. So other people were buying your cattle before it was getting to the slaughterhouse.
That's right. And so what we tried to do here was add some additional value for people that were out in the rest of the country. And number one, we wanted to be able to assure them where it was born, which herd it came from, what the genetics were in the herd. Second of all, we wanted to be able to assure them of the quality of the products that they were eating. We're putting in rules, literally, that have a very high percentage of corn being fed for an extended period of time. The other thing that we're assuring people is that they will go to harvest within so many days after they come off of the corn. And once they go to harvest, they will be aged properly using one of several techniques that science says are the best techniques available today.
Just so everyone knows, we're talking with Governor Mike Rounds of South Dakota, who has just signed into legislation some of the most interesting and innovative legislation with regard to the production of beef in the country. First only makes it a felony to call your beef South Dakota beef if you don't stake up to their standards, and that's pretty amazing. You were talking about, just a moment ago, Governor, about aging the beef. What are the aging requirements? How long is the beef aged?
You know, what we found out to begin with was that when some of the beef went to market, it might be aged for 2 or 3 days, and then sent on out. And when we started talking with our meat scientists about it, they said, you know, you get a lot better quality product if you age it for an extended period of time. Well, when we started looking at it, we found out that some of the processors didn't have the warehouse space to put it in for the length of time. Ours says at least 14 days, either wet or dry sealed.
Right. That is now, so just, important.
Now, just so everybody knows, when you dry age a steak for 14 days, you get loss. You get reduced weight. You get loss on the outside of the steak. So you increase your cost significantly by doing that.
But you increase your quality. And the thing that's great about this, Governor, is that it helps keep the family farmer on the farm. It seems to be better for the environment overall. It makes the food safer. And it also, what we as restaurateurs are so interested in, is that it makes a better product. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking more with Governor Mike Rounds of South Dakota about their South Dakota certified beef program, and if you disobey them, it's a felony and you're going to jail. We like Governor Rounds. We'll be back in just a moment. We're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Welcome back to the Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Today we're talking with Governor Mike Rounds of South Dakota about South Dakota beef. Governor, just a moment ago, you were talking about what the things you're doing to make your beef taste better.
Right.
Why don't you tell us some more of those steps that you're taking?
The first thing is, and I want to make it clear, we tried to put it all together so that we're not only talking about the folks who raise the calf, we're also talking about the folks who would background it, meaning put them on grass perhaps when they're coming off of milk, and then the folks that feed it. We've laid out the guidelines for where they have to be in terms of they have to be within our borders. They start out with the genetics that are appropriate. We've excluded certain livestock with different genetics that don't make good eating beef. Then once they've been fed and they come off of the grass, if they're going to go into the premium beef process, meaning not natural, where it would be more of a, in the future we'll have one for grass-fed livestock only.
Great, that's terrific.
When you move into the corn product, the corn has to be fed for an extended period of time, a length of time, so that when they're on the corn, that adds the marbling, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. They've got to be on for at least 100 days on the corn. And once they come off of that, within a certain number of times, I think it's within 5 days, they have to be processed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but along with that, what we're really trying to tell folks is you're going to be able to look at who the people are that are literally preparing your food for you. So many times today, because so much of our food is a commodity,
right,
we just decided that when people go in and they want to have a good dining experience or they want to take something home, look, they're going to be able to come into a store or a restaurant and literally look at the package of meat, and there's a computer strip on it, a magnetic strip or a barcode.
Yeah.
And on that barcode, it will, if you want to take it home or you want to look at the computer, on our South Dakota Certified Beef website, you can go in there, put in the barcode, and it will bring up a picture of the ranch where the calf
is. That's fabulous.
Born.
Yeah, it really is.
And it'll go farther than that because it will track for you where that animal was from when it was born until it was harvested and who had it and what they do in their operation to make it the best beef available. Now, I will tell you, we got lots of great competition because, truly, U.S. beef is as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And this food supply is safe, okay? It really is safe. But what we wanted to do was to bring additional assurance that, number one, we're going to take the extra steps to let you know who it is that really does care about it, and that this is a family operation, and that's what we've got in South Dakota, our family farmers.
You know, Governor Rounds, we work all the time, and Mark and I work tirelessly to work with family farmers here in New Jersey, where we are an overpopulated state, if your state is a little underpopulated. And trying to keep family farms on the farm, mm-hmm. it's all about exactly what you're doing, bringing it all together, making the food supply safer, better, the food a higher quality. And, yeah, I think that the commodity foods are certainly, you know, they're nutritious and edible and they work.
Listen,
but
we're going to know whether or not we're successful when we get repeat business. So what I want to do, I'm going to have these my staff get a hold of you, because we are just now harvesting some of our first animals that are part of this process.
And we're going to put some of that in New Jersey at some great restaurants. We have to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking with Governor Mike Rounds of South Dakota about South Dakota certified beef, a product that you out in listener land in New Jersey need to know a lot more about. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1130.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott, and I'm here with Mark Pascal. We own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every weekday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, and reach us through our website at www.restaurantguysradio.com. Today, our guest is Governor Mike Rounds of South Dakota.
You know, Governor, we're seeing more and more people want to make a connection to where their food's coming from, where and the farms that their foods are coming from. How does your legislation affect that family farm and that small farmer?
This is strictly a voluntary plan. Those individuals that don't want to participate in it do not have to.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got well over 400 different farm families that have expressed an interest in participating in this plan right now. What they do is they agree to follow a set of guidelines, including those which are found under what they call the beef quality assurance plans, that go into providing good beef. What this allows them to do is to then participate on a voluntary basis. They agree in advance that they're going to follow these guidelines. But once they agree to it, if they're going to advertise and use the logos and so forth, they have to follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, they have the opportunity to market their livestock, their calves, as being South Dakota certified livestock. When someone picks up those calves and buys them, if they're a South Dakota certified feeder, they can pick up these livestock, these calves,
right,
and bring them into their feed location and feed them, and they can market them as South Dakota certified feeder cattle. The feeder cattle are then what you would harvest at a processing plant. That's actually the biggest challenge we have right now is that within our state, for many years, larger organizations have stepped in and have provided us with a decent market for livestock. But that then goes out of state, then it's processed at a larger facility. We have 50 small processing locations within our state. They're small, they're family-owned in many cases, they're in small towns. What we wanted to do was to provide them with a chance to, first of all, upgrade their equipment, upgrade their facilities,
mm-hmm.
but follow these guidelines to absolutely make sure that this high-quality product was improved and maintained in the processing. And so we've set up a series of guidelines for that local processor. Any processor who does it in our state and follows our guidelines can market then South Dakota certified beef. It can be either South Dakota certified premium beef if it meets the appropriate marbling and quality, you know, the texture and so forth.
Sure.
Or South Dakota certified beef, which means you still have the integrity behind it. You still know where it was born. You know who took care of it. You know which herds it came from. And
just
you know that the safety was involved in it in terms of protecting it as best we can using the best sound science available.
Just so everybody knows what we're talking about, the South Dakota Certified Beef Program would certify that the beef that you get, if it's labeled South Dakota Certified Beef. Now, if you want to grow your beef in South Dakota and not participate in the program, you can. They're not
right.
forcing anybody
right.
to do this. But it's sort of like we talk about the denominazione system in Italy or the appellation system in France, where if you're going to if you want to establish this niche market and carry the label, you're going to have to operate on a higher standard. And I think one of the things that's most appealing about this is that you know the family farm that it comes from. And,
yes.
and you're giving, and what family farmers need, okay, because the commodity markets can produce watermelons cheaper than anybody else, but they can't produce them better than anybody else.
Right.
And I think we have the same thing that goes on here with the quality beef from South Dakota. This label will give them breathing room
right.
because maybe they get an extra $20 a head for each cow, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it really does make a huge difference as to whether they can stay on the farm, and it also gives them the resources to invest in a cow to make your steak on the plate a better steak on the plate.
Well,
I mean, is that the philosophy behind this?
They're adding value. That's exactly what they're doing.
See, we don't expect to get paid more unless we're adding value.
Right.
And that's what we want. And I'll tell you that the only way that this is going to work is if folks that try it come back and say, you're right.
You need to truly add value. There's no doubt about it.
And just to sort of further explain the paradigm that our food producers face, which explains two things. One, why people are losing their small farms. And two, why the food quality in America seems to go down every year or has for a long time, is that, you know, say you have a small farm and you're a beef producer in South Dakota before this program, and you put in extra effort to make your cattle extra nice, and you put in and you make sure that you do the extra things that are required and you invest to make a better a product. Well, if all that's available to distribute that is you can't differentiate your cow from any other cow, guess what? You get paid the same no matter what.
Right. It is a commodity.
Governor,
I want you to be truthful with us now. Is this just in response or revenge to North Dakota wanting to change their name to Dakota? Is that just your way of getting even?
You know, the one thing that I tell the crew up in North Dakota on a regular basis is anytime they want to help advertise the fact that Mount Rushmore is in South Dakota, they're welcome to do so.
Governor, just a little population crack. Do they count as four in the population calculations of South Dakota? Do they count as citizens? We will claim them anytime.
Let me just tell you the story there.
Yeah.
That Mount Rushmore sits in South Dakota in the Black Hills of South Dakota. We tell people that we know we've got an uphill battle here in terms of the challenges that we've got in keeping people here, but we're not afraid of those. Some people say you're trying to climb a mountain, and we say, no, no, no. We like mountains. Here in South Dakota, we carve mountains.
Nice.
Not a little bit, but the whole thing.
Nice.
Well, now, Governor, okay, we've talked about how we're going to produce this beef.
Yeah.
How are we going to get it out to the market? Obviously, we're going to go on radio shows across America, really insensitive, intelligent radio shows
like ours.
Only
the good ones, though.
Exactly. But now, how are people going to be able to buy this stuff and support you and come back and try it and see if everything you're saying is true?
I'm going to be very honest with people and tell them, to begin with, it is a very small program. We will be lucky if we can process 40 to 50,000 head.
The thing about people from New Jersey is what we want to be is in the know. We want to be first to tell all our friends we were the first to get there, because by the time it becomes popular, we want our listeners to be saying, yeah, I've been doing South Dakota Certified Beef for years.
If they want to go on to our website,
uh-huh.
they will find out information about how to get it. We're going to be doing it. It will probably be available first within our borders and by mail or by packaging. Now, we've got folks that are set up to do that now. But, you know, you guys, I want your honest opinion, okay? My favorite cut of beef is a ribeye, okay?
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
We're developing partnerships across the United States to get it and to put it out. But
mm-hmm.
for you guys, I want you guys, you're not getting paid on this or anything else.
Right, right.
I'm going to send you a package of steaks.
Okay.
Okay? I'm going to send you a nice package of steaks because, you know, good steaks ought to be enjoyed with good friends.
If you send us steaks, we're going to eat them.
you choose the Cabernet of your choice to go with them.
Right.
We personally prefer a Jay Lore, actually.
Uh-huh.
He's actually a South Dakota boy who went to California and made well.
Very
nice.
I like it.
Oh, it's excellent. But I'll tell you what. I'm going to send this out to you, and when you get all done with it and you've enjoyed it, why don't you let me know what you think about it, okay?
You know, we're going to do that. And also, Governor Ramsey, we're going to ask, and we're going to keep praise to this, and we're going to keep our people informed through our website. And so we're going to see how we can get either through mail order or because we have restaurants and we have friends who are restaurateurs, because we find the best way to market, especially the high-end things, is
mm-hmm.
to bring them into the best restaurants in the state first, and then people can see them from their very high profile, and then they'll look for it themselves.
Well, it'll be very limited the first couple of years as we gear up. And once again, the challenge for us is our processing opportunities. But we've got the producers to do it. And as we bring them online, we're starting out. We're going to make darn sure that everything that we're doing is working the way that it's supposed to.
And Governor Rounds?
Yes.
I have a motorcycle, and I'm thinking about going across country next summer.
Okay.
Can I come to the governor's mansion?
Listen, you stop right on by here on your way to Sturgis.
All right.
Motorcycle rally.
All right, I will.
You'll join about 650,000 other bikers
I always come in the off season. Hey, listen, Governor, we need to run, but I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to spend so much time with us and for pioneering this program. I think it's really great.
We really do love stuff like this, Governor. Thanks so much.
Listen, thank you for the opportunity to talk with you and your listeners today.
We'll be watching.
Yeah, and we'll keep everybody informed. Take care, Governor Rounds.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks so much.
That was the governor of South Dakota who came to talk to us about the South Dakota Certified Beef Program, which is really, really great. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1145.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with The Restaurant Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Today we were talking with Governor Mike Rounds about the new South Dakota beef, which is, I think, going to take the country by storm because they're people are interested in quality, and they're raising the quality of their beef, and they're doing the things that it takes to make their beef actually better. Not just sound better, but they're taking steps. Do you know that they're actually using their police force to help police this?
Well, that's what sets this thing apart, is we have minimum standards for what has to happen if you're in South Dakota and you want to have South Dakota certified beef.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do and you accept this moniker, the police are going to check up on you to make sure that you are doing. Of course, the police in South Dakota don't have a lot to do.
Oh, man.
It's not like the Newark Police Department is showing up checking on the cows. You know what I mean? You're in South Dakota, you're a cop, you may as well check on the cows.
What I like about it is there's accountability here.
Yeah.
It's not some big agribusiness that's going to pay a fine that's 1% of their profits over the course of a year.
And it's also not where the situation was. Just so we know that what we're talking about were terms actually have meanings that are enforced. The way in today's food regulatory climate, you have until the law was just changed in New Jersey, you could say vine ripened on a fruit, and it didn't mean that it was ripened on the vine. You know, tut-tut, you should think something like that. You know?
why would you ever think that?
And the other thing is, what's interesting is this is the first time in America we've really gone to what is basically what they're doing in Europe, what they do with French wines and French cheeses and Italian wines and Italian prosciutto di Parma. Mm-hmm. You know, if you make prosciutto in Parma and you don't follow their
very strict guidelines,
they will seize your product. Here, actually, the South Dakota law sends you to jail for 2 years.
2 years in prison. Okay, it's a felony.
And I think that's really amazing.
Don't mess around.
One of the interesting things he talked about, though, I think is he talked about now the South Dakota certified beef program as it stands now, the premium beef program, is with corn-fed beef. Now, that is a very good process overall, the South Dakota program, and I support it entirely. And what he hopes to bring online soon is with grass-fed beef as well. And we've talked about this a little before in the past. Grass-fed beef, the difference between corn-fed and grass-fed beef, is that grass-fed beef is not finished with corn, which is environmentally a very difficult product. I mean, corn really does not do a lot of good things to the environment. Commodity corn that's grown to make ethanol and feed cows. It's not grown on the family farm. It uses a lot of water. It uses a lot of pesticides. They use a lot of gasoline and tractors, and it does bad things to the land because we make so much of it. And it also, corn-fed beef is not really great for you, whereas grass-fed beef, the fat in grass-fed beef is more like the fat in salmon.
Or in wild salmon.
They say that if you switch from corn-fed beef to grass-fed beef right now, you'll save how many years?
You'll lose 6 pounds this year.
You lose 6 pounds this year.
Just by the average American, if they switch from corn-fed to grass-fed beef, would lose 6 pounds this year.
Now, the average American stands to gain 2 pounds this year. So the swing is 8 pounds.
Right.
Okay. And not only that, the grass-fed beef, it doesn't have the kind of oil that clogs your arteries.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see the problem with grass-fed beef, and I can't wait for the South Dakota thing to come online, because we deal with farmers to try and buy grass-fed beef when we can. The problem is the grass-fed beef producers are so few and far between that when they slaughter a cow, they freeze it all right away
immediately.
For the most part.
So right now in New Jersey, it is almost impossible to get
grass-fed beef?
Fresh grass-fed beef. You can get frozen grass-fed beef.
Right.
But that has its own issues, with its own quality issues by freezing the beef. And there are certain times of the year you can get fresh grass-fed beef in New Jersey. But it is very, very difficult. We're jumping through some really crazy hoops to get it.
Well, and the problem is when you deal with a small farmer who wants to grow turnips a different way than everybody else, you have one issue. When you deal with tomatoes that are even more perishable and he wants to pick them ripe on the vine, you have another issue where he's got to move tomatoes fairly quickly. When you want to raise your cattle to be grass-fed, you've got to sell all that food product immediately because the distribution chain isn't there.
Nice analogy, Francis.
Well done. Thank you, Mark. I'm touched. I'm blushing. But the problem is, so you're a small farmer and you have two cows you want to slaughter. You send your two cattle to slaughter, and what have you got? Well, you've got one tenderloin.
Exactly.
You've got two tenderloins.
And a restaurant or supermarket isn't buying two tenderloins.
You've got two livers.
Right.
You've got,
Precisely.
But you have to sell, 800 pounds of meat per cow, or per bovine. What is the gender-neutral term for cattle? Just cattle?
Cattle. Let's go with cattle.
Is that singular? Can that be singular?
Kettles.
Oh, wait, we'll start the language. Listen to the language show after this. They'll tell you. So the problem with the grass-fed beef is monumental. I cannot wait. We're going to keep you appraised of where this South Dakota beef is going to happen. Governor Rounds is sending us a couple of steaks. We will, in the interest only for you, our listeners, Mark and I will eat those steaks with a big bottle of Cabernet, like he says, and we'll let you know how the South Dakota regular beef is. And when the grass-fed beef does become available, we'll let you know about that as well. Also, when you cook grass-fed beef, if you want to buy some of the frozen grass-fed beef, which you can find online, you need to be careful with it. I just came back from Ireland, where all the cattle is grass-fed. They don't finish their cattle on corn.
Well, first thing, realize that it's going to look different than corn-fed
yes.
beef. The fat is going to be yellow instead of white. It's supposed to be.
And the fat has a lower melting point than right. the corn-fed beef fat, which is good because that's why it doesn't clog your arteries.
Right. That color comes from the beta carotene. It's good for you. That fat is good for you. Will help your beneficial cholesterol go up and your not beneficial cholesterol go down.
But the thing you need to remember when you're using grass-fed beef is you need to cook it. It cooks in about 30% less time to cook the same piece of grass-fed beef because it doesn't have those fats that need to break down.
It also can become very, very tough very quickly. So if you overcook grass-fed beef, you're really going to feel it.
And as
literally.
I said, I just came back from Ireland where they overcook everything, and I had all this beautiful grass-fed beef, and I was like, get away from the grill. Leave that piece of beef alone. To which they say, oh, now, Francis, you can't eat that. It'll make you sick. No, it won't make me sick. It's tasty. So the other thing is, if you like well-done beef, grass-fed beef is not your way to go necessarily because it really
Correct.
Does become very tough. In the well-done sector, the corn-fed beef, I don't know why you eat it well-done anyway, but if you like well-done, corn-fed's going to taste
so
better.
You're so judgmental.
Yeah.
You're so judgmental. Eat your beef well-done if you want to eat your beef well-done, okay?
But
don't listen to Francis.
But don't invite us over.
Yeah, just don't give it to me.
Yeah, I don't want it. It's fine. And Mr. I'm snotty, right? I'm the fussy one.
You sure are.
All right, we'll come back in just a moment, and we'll give you a little bit more information on grass-fed beef and some other interesting summer delights. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys. We had as our guest today the governor of South Dakota, Governor Mike Rounds, who came to talk to us about the South Dakota beef program. And he mentioned that if you want to find out about what they're doing there, which is a very, very interesting niche marketing program called South Dakota Certified Beef, and if you're as big a fan of beef as we are, you can go to www.sdbeef.org and find out about the interesting stuff they're doing that is good for the environment, good for the quality of meat, good for the family farm, good for us when we get some of that stuff. The governor said he's going to send us a box of beef.
That is awesome. You know, one of the things he alluded to, and we were talking about briefly and talking about at the break, was that what's happening is the family farmer is losing their farm. And the reason they're losing their farm is because as the kids are growing up and going to college and doing their own thing, it doesn't pay for them to work on that family farm. They can earn more if they go work someplace else.
Because the farm itself is becoming less and less viable because the food is being sent out into this commodity chain where no one knows where it came from. And, you know, the individual farm makes a better product or not. It doesn't matter. Because it's not being sold to the end consumer. It's being sold to Monsanto. I made that up. It's not really being sold to Monsanto. It's sold to some big corporation that says, whatever. This is the price we're paying for beef. Whatever, right. Whatever. And they're trying to change this.
And I think they'll be successful if their beef is actually better. And Francis and I truly have not tried South Dakota beef yet. This is a brand new program that's just online. Actually, in June, I think is the first cattle.
But I think if they're serious enough to send people to jail over it, it must be something going on there. The penalty for violating it is a 2-year stint in the South Dakota State Penitentiary. So. There you go.
So don't violate it.
Word
of warning, don't violate it.
But this speaks to what we try to do in this show. This speaks to what we try to do in our restaurant. This speaks to what we try to educate people about and what we try to do in our personal lives. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you can buy from the local hardware store versus the Home Depot, if you can buy from the local clothing store versus the Gap, if you can buy your food, and here's where we're still able to do it, because you know what? I don't have a local hardware store anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, the place in Highland Park went out of business.
Right.
And I tried, and I would go, and I would go, and I'd go. But, you know, we still have our local farms. We still have some of our local farms. We still have some local merchants. Restaurants in New Jersey, unlike in most of the country, are still mostly owned by a private – they're privately held by small
– We are one of the few states in the country that still can claim that.
I mean, we're members of the New Jersey Restaurant Association, which is a great trade organization, which is the New Jersey chapter of the – well, where it's associated with the National Restaurant Association. One of the things we find all the time is our interests often diverge with the National Restaurant Association because the National Restaurant Association is Burger King, McDonald's, mm-hmm. Fridays, Hooters, et cetera, and so forth. And in New Jersey, it's Stage Left and David Drake and
right.
Nicholas Harari and, you know, all these individual people and the people who own Pal's Cabin up in West Orange,
right.
You know, the Horn family.
Well, you know, Francis, tomorrow we're going to talk more about beef tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow we're going to be talking about Mad Cow, and that's mm-hmm. one of the things that in South Dakota this program is defending against. And I think that maybe one of the reasons that this program came about is there's more and more fear about Mad Cow. And tomorrow's we're going to dedicate almost the whole program to Mad Cow and where it comes from.
Well, not the whole program because we're also going to talk about how the people can grill their beef right and how they can treat it well and how you can get the best bang for your buck. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.